Father, we thank you for your mercies that are new to us each morning. And Lord, as we open to your word now, we ask that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts may be acceptable to you. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please, would you be seated? And as you do, would you please look inside your bulletin for today and take out this handout entitled Lazarus at the Gate. The poor and needy are a category of people who are underprivileged, destitute, disadvantaged, and lonely. The Bible refers to them as orphans, widows, sojourners, and the oppressed. And God's word shows us that these people have a very special place before him. And in this month of October, in St. Andrew's Cathedral, the talks at our worship services will be about our Christian duty and privilege of serving God by serving the poor and needy. So we will be considering the range of community services that the cathedral is engaged in, both in Singapore and abroad, and the opportunities they present to you and me to serve the poor. The World Bank says that more than 10% of the world today lives in abject poverty. About 800 million people fall below the international poverty line, which is set at US$1.90 per person per day. Now, I think it's very hard for us to imagine life at $1.90 a day, and more difficult for us to see anyone existing at that level in Singapore. And the IMF, International Monetary Fund, ranks Singapore as the third richest country in the world. Do you feel like that? And there are charts floating around to show that by 2020, 2 years' time, one in 30 Singaporeans will be a millionaire. And of course, there is a movie already set in Singapore entitled Crazy Rich Asians. So friends, does this mean that there is no poverty in contemporary Singapore? Are there no poor people in our society today? Or are they just invisible? In sociological terms, absolute poverty refers to a minimum sum that is necessary for survival. So this is about how much is needed for food, for shelter, for clothing, for basic necessities in order for people to survive. And for Singapore, data several years ago show that about 10% of our households fall under this level. That works out to about 500,000 people in Singapore living in absolute poverty and deprivation. And many of these households are dependent on public assistance schemes. These people live either in interim or public rental housing. And some of them are homeless. Whereas relative poverty is the standard or the index more commonly referred to in developed cities like Hong Kong and here in Singapore. Relative poverty refers to the amount needed for a household to afford the basic necessities to survive in life and also to avoid social exclusion. For example, while one can physically survive without the need to have a computer, a handphone, or internet connection, such a person would be socially excluded without these items, meaning that it would be very difficult for someone like that to climb to move up the social or career ladder. And in Singapore, about 25% of households fall below this relative poverty line. And a significant portion of them are elderly. Relative poverty in Singapore is rising amongst the elderly. A 2015 research paper on the subject highlighted a surprising observation that while the poverty rate among elderly persons not working had fallen over the years, and I suspect that many of us elderly here in the cathedral fall in that category, and it's good news, that for elderly persons working, still working in the workforce, poverty has increased dramatically. So given our rapidly aging population, as well as the growing number of singles, the number of seniors who work into their silver years is on the increase. For many in the lower income group, retirement is an alien concept. Don't even think it. Despite having children, the elderly are struggling to get by. So they have become more visible. As you can see on the screen, they are food court cleaners, tissue sellers, scrap collectors. Church, do we know the poor? Do we have them as friends? Perhaps they're related to us. Would we care to know them? God cares for them. The Bible tells us that God is the father to the fatherless, and he is the defender of widows. It is God's nature to care for the afflicted and to work for the cause of the poor. In fact, God cares so passionately for the poor and needy that there are promises for those who are kind to the poor. Would you pick up your handout and read Proverbs 19, verse 17 together with me? Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. So isn't it wonderful that God pays back more than the value of our contribution to the poor, and very often with blessings which money can never buy? And God judges those who are indifferent to the poor, those who don't care for the poor, and those who afflict the needy. I'm sure you know that just last month, all over in the news and social media, was rife with activity either to repeal or to retain Section 377A of our Penal Code. This is the law in Singapore that says that sex between men is a punishable crime. The issue concerned homosexual acts and got many people thinking about the implications of homosexual behavior in our city. And included in the discussions was the reason for God to totally destroy a city that is known for sexual perversion. A city called Sodom in the Bible. And the question is, why did God wipe out Sodom? And quite often people simply say that, well, it was homosexuality. And yes, in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 19, there is a record of perverse practice in Sodom. However, in Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 to 50, we see that that's not what God charged Sodom with. This chapter is addressed to the city of Jerusalem, and it compares Jerusalem with Sodom. Would you read with me, please? It's on the screen and in your notes. This is what God says about Sodom. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. They were haughty and did an abomination before me. So I removed them when I saw it. Not that God is indifferent to homosexuality, but there is no mention of it here. Instead, the sins of Sodom were pride, self-indulgence, and a selfish indifference to the poor and needy. So friends, this is the kind of attitude and culture in society that causes an upsurge of sexual perversion. God cares for the poor and needy, and He requires us, His children, to have that same attitude. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible defines for us the Christian religion. Also in your notes, let's read together. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So Christians, you and I practice a religion not only to keep away from worldliness, from evil, and from sin, but we practice a religion also to care for the poor and needy. St. Andrews, do we care for the poor and needy? If you look on the reverse side of your handout, there are some ways in which our church serves the community. City Community Services, that through its befriender and student care ministries, City reaches 400 children in government schools. And they are mainly latchkey kids with no adult supervision at home. And most of them are from poor families, with half of them from families dependent on public assistance. For the elderly, St. Andrew's Cathedral Home for the Aged, started in 1980 and located in Clementi. This is a home for destitute women. And today it continues to house up to 25 poor women, and most of them with no family ties. This ministry helps the elderly live life in dignity and also in the hope of the resurrection. In Cambodia, Project Khmer Hope is our church's work to annually help 600 poor young people to come out of the poverty cycle. So PKH does that by providing vocational training to help them find jobs, and it enables children who cannot afford schooling to receive education. If you look inside your bulletin today, you'll find this flyer that gives information on our church's work in Cambodia. Please also visit the website and the life stories, read the life stories of young people whose lives have been transformed by the power of the gospel and also by your generosity. And may I take this opportunity to ask you, please, to continue your support of this work. BMW, this is not the fast car. BMW, befriending migrant workers. It reaches out to sojourners, foreign workers who are mainly domestic helpers from Myanmar. You don't get to see a lot of it on Sundays, but if you are in the church grounds, say about 11:30, 12 o'clock, right through to 6 p.m., there are about 500 to 600 of them who gather on our grounds. They come to sit on our lovely lawn, and they appreciate the tuition that is provided free of charge to them, tuition in English and Mandarin. Cooking demonstrations, activities in childcare, elder care, health care meet the needs of these foreign workers so that they can serve their employers well. MMSC, Mobile Medical Service to the Community. This work provides mobile clinic services using a minibus converted to a clinic to migrant workers at their dormitories, as well as to elderly poor people living in the one-room HDB flats. And then our church is also involved in serving slum dwellers in the Indonesian island of Batam. There are two groups, the Batam Medical Outreach and the 289 Fellowship of the Manger. They go there very regularly to provide health care, sanitation, and clean water. Friends, apart from these organized activities for the poor, in St. Andrews, 5% of our church's ministry budget is for welfare aid to needy people, regardless of their race, their position, and religion. Of course, when considered against the full operating expenditure, including staff payroll, maintenance of our buildings and grounds, and our car park, this figure is less than 0.5%. St. Andrews, do we care for the poor? You could say we do. You could also say that we must do better. The gospel reading from Luke chapter 16 holds an account of a very rich man who lived a life of excessive luxury. And outside the gate of this rich man's house was a man named Lazarus, who was so poor that he simply longed to eat what fell from the rich man's table. And the rich man was completely indifferent to the plight of Lazarus. He showed him no love, no sympathy, no compassion. Eventually, they both died. The Bible tells us Lazarus went to heaven, and the rich man went to hell. Now we learn two things from this story which Jesus Christ told. Firstly, heaven and hell are real, literal places. And every person who has ever lived will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. Secondly, riches cannot get one into heaven. On the contrary, riches have the power to separate us from God in a way that few other things can. And Jesus told this story so that his followers will not be indifferent to the plight of the poor like the rich man was. He taught that those who show mercy to the poor are in effect ministering to him. We know that familiar passage in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 to 40, where Jesus said, "I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you feed them, you clothe them, you visit the sick, you visit those in prison, you did it to me," Jesus says. Lazarus at the gate. Friends, did you know that Lazarus is at our gate? Recently, I came to learn that there are poor and homeless people who spend their nights in places so very, very nearby St. Andrew's Cathedral, both on the ground and underground. And those who know about the homeless say that these sleep in areas within a 2-kilometer radius away from the cathedral. 80% of them are men. The rest are women and some children. Not all of them are elderly or unemployed or unkempt or pull a trolley bag. A significant number are young people. They have jobs, but the jobs don't pay enough for them even to rent a room. And some don't go home. They can't because of family problems. Now, some of us plan to get to know the situation better with a view to befriending them and to see what kind of support the church we can give to them. And for the immediate, we will be doing two things. Firstly, to join a symposium organized for us on the 30th of October. This is a Tuesday in our cathedral basement prayer halls. entitled The Father's Heart for the Homeless. And there we will be able to hear Christians who are already involved in ministering to the homeless. And details of this will be in the bulletin from next Sunday. The second thing we will do is to try to gain a clearer insight by going on site. So we will be taking a walk to some of these areas around us in the wee hours of the morning to learn more about the situation and to consider what we can do about it. I would encourage as many of us to join in this effort, and if you are interested, please email us at missions@cathedral.org.sg, or if you like to use the phone, call the church office. So friends, for our meditations this month, we can simply focus on heart-wrenching stories or tear-jerking pictures of what poverty is like. However, doing that will not even bring a drop of cure to this problem of poverty. Rather, and thankfully, we have a prescription from God's word, and this morning we would like to apply it. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 to 10 was read out this morning. This is an Old Testament law, a law of gleaning, which stipulates how crops were to be managed at harvest time. Read it, it's interesting. God's people were required by law to deliberately leave behind a certain amount for the poor and needy. So every one of God's people, whether they like it or they don't like it, had to have a concern for the poor because it was law. And this law is underlined by a precious statement, "I am the Lord your God." So God was saying, "This is the kind of God that I am, and this is how I want you to be." Not calculative and miserly, but intentionally generous, deliberately compassionate towards the poor. How can we apply this prescription? May I suggest four ways. Firstly, lend a helping hand. We can start by joining church projects for the poor. And in Singapore, thankfully, there are national initiatives to meet the needs of the poor. So instead of just sitting back and complaining, why not join in the good work? Secondly, be the voice for the poor. Talk about the poor. Speak up for them. And not just by blogging in cyberspace. For some of us here, we can make it a point to respond to God's call to go into social action, to go into social work for a vocation. That is a very noble calling. And if you are a policymaker, at whatever level, work to bring social empowerment and dignity to the poor. Thirdly, which is what many of us do, give. But give intentionally. Set aside 1%, 2%, 3%, whatever. And teach your children and your grandchildren to have this space in their lives for the poor. Yet, at the end of the day, it is not just about money. Befriend the poor. Let us not hide ourselves from the poor, because after all, they are our own flesh. Instead, let's intentionally hang out also in public places where they are, apart from our private country clubs, apart from our exquisite restaurants, apart from our beautiful, nice church settings, apart from our personal retreats. Socialize with the poor. Do not be insular. Let's not allow ourselves and our children to be class conscious. For if we do, we suffer the poverty of experience. For our world is made up of people from different backgrounds. Of late, the issue of the gap between the rich and the poor in Singapore, that has come to the fore. The findings of a study conducted last year shows that the sharpest social divide in Singapore may now be based on class rather than race or religion. When asked about their social networks, people were able to easily name a friend of a different gender. They could name a friend of a different age, even of a different race and religion. But they more rarely named someone from another class. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you have a friend who is poor? This morning, would you consider being a friend to someone poorer than yourself? Lazarus is at the gate. Amen.